Oh my. All right, if you would, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5. You know, 3 weeks ago, I had intended this to be the very next message that I preached. If you remember, I preached on the rapture of the glory of God in the Old Testament. We went over that. How the glory of God in 1 Chronicles 6 and 7, the glory of God came down and filled that temple. Then the glory was there, but God said, and he warned Jerusalem, my soul shall depart from thee, okay? That should have been a blood-curdling threat, an awful thing, the idea of his soul departing. And then we saw in Ezekiel 10 where the glory of God did depart. The cherubim came down and took it, but we also saw that from that point on, no one ever saw the ark of God again, okay? It was gone. But it's in heaven. When did it go to heaven? Well, where did the glory of God dwell? It dwelled in that ark. So when it went, it took the vessel with it. Okay? Took the vessel with it. So we're going to look here this afternoon of the rapture of the Holy Ghost. Just as the glory of God got raptured in the Old Testament. And by the way, what happened immediately after the rapture of the glory of God? Nebuchadnezzar came in, destroyed the temple. It was all ruined. And such and over. What happens immediately after the rapture of the Holy Ghost? The Antichrist appears, okay? So it's the rapture of the glory of God is a foreshadowing of the rapture of the Holy Ghost. Yes. Now the next thing on the prophetic timeline is the rapture of the Holy Ghost. Okay, we're not waiting for it. There's nothing else that ever needs to be done for that to happen. There is nothing to stop God from having the rapture of the Holy Ghost. And by the way, if the Holy Ghost leaves, every vessel the Holy Ghost is in will go with him.
That's right.
Okay? Every single one will go with him. Now, there is nothing to stop God from doing that in the next 5 minutes. Nothing. There's no verse that he would violate. There's nothing. It is the next thing on his timeline to do, and it's in his arms. It's for him to do in his timing, okay? And when he does, that's when the Antichrist appears. He cannot appear until the Holy Ghost is out of the way, okay? We're going to look at that. When he does appear, the sad part is the Bible says that everyone who has ever heard the gospel, they're damned. It's over. If you are not saved when that happens, there is nothing that can ever save you. Nothing, okay? Nothing. There will be people saved after the rapture, but there'll be people who never heard before. Okay? And we're going to see that. We're going to see where the Bible says that. Ruth Ann and I used to know a couple by the name of the Corbetts, who are a singing family, used to sing at Sam Adams Church, then moved around and such. But Sister Corbett, and they were amazing between the two of them. Between the two of them, they put a lot of groceries away. They're big. And Nancy Corbett tells the story. Some of you might have heard of Billy Kelly. Billy Kelly was a singer down south. He's dead now. He used to be very famous, a very godly man, and he'd sing and preach, and a lot of albums out of Billy Kelly singing and such. Billy Kelly was a big guy. And Nancy Corbett told the story one time of going into a Ponderosa Steakhouse, you know, where all you can eat type of place. And she's sitting there, and her and her husband and Billy Kelly, and each one competing with the other, who's bigger. And so Billy Kelly says, Nancy, would you go up there and get me seconds? I'm ashamed to do it. She says, sure, Billy, what do you want? He says, I want two plates. He said, I want one just as full of mashed potatoes as you can get it. I want gravy all over it. He said, the other one, I want you full. So she's doing it. He says, no, more, he's signaling her. So finally she's walking, it's a Sunday, through this crowded Ponderosa Steakhouse, and he yells, look at that big fat lady with all that food, he's yelling. That's just Billy Kelly, you'd have to know him. And Nancy's doing what he did, he's sitting there with hands up in the air. Yeah. But, you know, everybody loved Billy Kelly, and Nancy said, I wanted to kill him, but what are you going to do? But the thing is, with Nancy, for years, her and her husband out singing, just a wonderful singing couple, godly children and such. She could never get this thing straight for salvation. She just, you know, just somewhere inside, you appreciate it. Something would bother her if there's something wrong. And she got to the point, in the middle of the night, she'd wake up and work. The rapture happened. Her husband's working at night. She'd creep into her children's room to make sure they're still there. So worried. What's going on? Such. And God saved her. After years of being really a godly woman. And, being in the house of God and singing and all that kind of stuff. But she never had a true conversion on the inward parts. She's one of those like that dog that had that blue coat on. Okay. Got that on, okay? But nobody ever saw her with it off, other than her husband or kids. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and we'll go to chapter 5. Every chance you go on YouTube and look for the Corbetts, and just really good singing. He's one of those piano players that's got like 82 fingers, you know, when he's playing, and just go all over the place and such, and they sing together. It's a really good thing. But for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, what's he talking about? He's talking about your body. That's going to get dissolved one day, okay? And if it were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So there's another body awaiting us. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our house which is from heaven. You know, you get up some days and this one you're stuck with, it's got problems, you're wearied, you have a sin nature, all these things, we groan. Well, it would be nice to be clothed in that body from heaven. Verse 3, if so be clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not that we should be unclothed. We're not trying to get rid of this body, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up alike. Wouldn't it be nice if immortality could just take us over and all the griefs and the sin and the things that were so hurt ourselves, and it'd be gone and holy and righteous with God forever in real bodies and eating at that supper, the Lamb's table and such, and to have it. And we groan for that. Now, verse 5, now he that hath wrought us for that selfsame thing is God, who has also given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. And again, what is earnest? Earnest is something you give someone in good faith to promise that you're coming back. The most commonplace, you see that, yard sales, boy, you look at that thing and say, you know, that's exactly what my wife and I have been looking for, a dresser just like that. How much you want? Well, we can't take less than $75. Look, I've only got 25. Look, we're not taking less than 75. Would you hold it for me? And they say, you know, last year I held some stuff for some people and it never came and I didn't get to sell it, okay? So you give them the $25 and say, look, here's earnest money. We'll be back tonight by 6:00, okay? And you know what? If you're not back by 6, they keep that money, okay? It's earnest money. You've given them that to prove you're really coming back. And you come back, you gave them that earnest. It's good faith to show it. What's God given? The earnest of the Spirit. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He gives us that to show, yes, these promises of God are true. Now go with me to 2 Corinthians 1. Verse 21. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us as God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. What did Pilate do when they put the body in the grave? He put his seal on the door, okay? Why? Because if somebody went and stole the body, the seal would be broken. They'd realize somebody stole that. Bob knows from driving trucks that they'll seal that truck, okay? Why? So that when he's at a truck stop or something, people aren't just opening it up and that. If you get to that place and that seal's broken, there's big problems, okay? That seal's broken. That seal's there, that truck driver stands there, whoever's receiving, they'll break that seal and say, okay, here's what's in here. The kings of old used to put their seals on things, and it's ours, it's settled. And it was often done with a ring called a signet. And they put that ring down into that clay, and it would seal that thing, and now it's settled forever, the king has said. Well, God said you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, okay? He has sealed you with that thing because he has wrought you for this. You have a new body in heaven, okay? And he's given that seal. Now, I want you to go with me to 2 Timothy 2. Second Timothy 2, and we'll go to verse 16. The Apostle Paul says this, but shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about people talking about Bible, and it's just junk. It'll increase unto more ungodliness. You'll see in some of these churches, everybody goes and acts religious on Sunday morning, but watch their lives.
That's right.
It's all ungodly and there's nothing to it. They live any old way they want to and such. And then they all go back to church and try to be religious for a little while again and such. And so the Apostle Paul says, watch for that. Verse 17, and their word will eat as doth a canker, okay? And that's an early English word also for what we call cancer, all right? Canker sore came from the same word that cancer comes from. But it's that idea. You get a canker in your mouth and it eats and it goes on, or a cancer will do that same thing. It's a canker. It grows inside of you, and their word does that. They say something that's false and it begins to build inside of you and such. Their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. There's nothing to wait for. It's already gone. Okay? Paul's going to refute that and overthrow the faith of some. Verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, this is one of those places where we compare the Bible with other places in the Bible to get our definitions. It's one of the things that a good church will do. This church, most of you have been taught to do that. A lot of you come up to me with your Bible studies where you compare things, and God teaches you that way, and you find things in the Bible and such. Well, the thing is, this is the foundation of God standing sure. Well, we say, what's the foundation of God? 1 Corinthians 3 tells us it's Jesus Christ. It says, for no other foundation can any man lay other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So if someone's coming up and saying, well, the resurrection's passed already, don't worry about it and such, very similar to amillennialism. But the thing is, it's already passed. Don't even worry about this thing. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Jesus Christ is there. Don't worry about what they're saying. Jesus Christ is resurrected. But it says having this seal. Okay? Having this seal. Now, we saw earlier where Paul said, you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, okay? He's giving you that earnest of the Spirit. He's giving you that seal so that you can know what is God's promise. But here he describes the seal in a detail. He said, have given us this seal, and here's what the seal is. It's a long seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's quite a long seal. He comes up, that king's ring stamps, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, let me tell you this. When you're sealed with that spirit of promise, something happens to you. For the first time, you're allowed to depart from iniquity. Okay, you might have been trying to do that all along. What's iniquity? Lawlessness.
Yes.
Might be lawlessness and you running out there with a gun, or it might be just lawlessness in your heart where nothing's going to rule you. You're going to do whatever you want. But either way, you're going to do it your way, okay? And there's people who try to stop that, but they can't.
Yes, sir.
God has to let you do that, okay? He's got to let you do that. And so let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, the other thing is this. When a person gets saved, Miss Tanya, would you say that for the last week there's not been one bit of iniquity in anything you do? It's all been perfect, and your kids, you wouldn't say that, huh? Now, God let her, but he didn't force her, did he?
That's right.
He let her depart, but he didn't force her to depart. Well, for the first time, you can go. For the first time, you can take that chain off, and you can walk away from it, okay? And you can be free from it. Now, if you're like me, you'll wake up morning after morning and find out you put it back on, all right? And such. But the thing is, he's letting you depart from iniquity. He's not forcing you to. He's letting you do it. For the first time, you can get away from it. By the way, what happened in Montgomery? Is it ill or?
Trevor's sick.
Okay. God bless him. But Miss Jody brought me an old Uncle Remus book. Published 1946. Last printing was 1976. Couldn't publish it today because it would be considered racist or something like that. But the thing is, it's got that picture of the tar baby. And old Briar Rabbit, comes up with that tar baby. And it's, you know, Briar Fox been trying to catch him. Briar Bear been trying to catch him. Well, I say Briar, that's Southern for brother, Briar, brother, right? Briar Fox. And they've been trying to catch this old Briar Rabbit for a while, okay? And, you know, the one time they catch, Briar Fox puts a trap out there and got Briar Rabbit hanging upside down in it, and it's over. Well, the bear comes along, what are you doing up there? Guarding the cornfield. You get paid it? Yeah, I'm getting $1 a minute. I want to make that money. We'll just trade places with me. You know, old Briar Fox comes and looks, and Briar Bear, what are you doing up there? You know, there old Briar Rabbit got away again. So Father Briar Fox, he goes and he makes a tar baby, all made out of tar, and Briar Rabbit comes up, talks to him, and he won't talk about it, so he gets mad and punches him. What happens? His hand stays in the tar. Well, then he wants to get out of that tar, and he can't, so he pushes the other hand to get out. What happened? Now he's even worse than it. Okay? Then he puts his foot in it. Next thing you know, he's just covered with it and everything else, and Briar Fox just comes up and gets him, and Briar Bear, they're so happy. What are we going to do with you? Well, why don't we skin him alive? Oh, please skin me alive, please, but don't throw me in the briar patch. You know? Well, we'll cook him alive. Oh, please cook me alive, but don't throw me in the briar patch. Finally, look at me. No, he won't be thrown in the briar patch. So they throw him in the briar patch. And they laugh, I'm born in the briar patch, you idiots! And he's happy, he runs away. Alright, but the point is. The fun thing to that is they were old slave stories. The wisdom of the blacks down south and such, and tells almost like Aesop's fables for the and such. And there was a wholesomeness and a wisdom to them and such. But the point was that tar baby. So many people try to get out of sin, and it's a big tar baby to them.
Yeah.
They're caught in it. And they push with this hand. This one's caught, and they push with that, and they push with this, and they're just covered in that thing, and they can't get out of it. Well, God will let you depart from iniquity. That's one of the things that when he seals you with that Holy Spirit of promise, when he seals you with that seal, he will let you for the first time in your life depart from iniquity. What a wonderful thing. Now, I want you to turn with me, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 2. Yeah, Jody brought me that book, Ruth Ann Stone. I mean, I don't know, I have a wicked wife, but she said, that's mine. She was so happy to get it. 2 Thessalonians 2. And we're going to deal with the idea when God takes the Holy Ghost up. Now, he sent the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2 and corporately filled believers. Came down in all different believers and gave him the Holy Ghost, and he's filled with them, and there's going to come a time when he takes that back up. And whatever vessels he's in goes with him. The vessels he's not in stay behind. Okay? Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now what is the day of Christ? Well, Jesus Christ described that day. People will say, well, here is Christ, there is Christ. They said, don't believe it. He said, when Christ comes, it's going to be like the lightning from the east to the west. And don't let people come up and say it's here. Okay? It's not going to be some secret place out in the wilderness or something like that. It's going to be where everybody says, so the apostle said, don't be troubled by spirit or word or letter from us, because of the day Christ is in. For that day shall not come. Okay? That day shall not come. Now let's look what it says here. For that day shall be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor word, nor by letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there coming a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So before Jesus Christ can appear in the heavens, where all the world sees it like the lightning, that can't happen until two things have happened. There's come a falling away and the man of sin be revealed. Okay? So that's not the rapture, is it? There's nothing stopping the rapture from coming. And we're going to see that. But there is going to come a point where suddenly everybody at once will see the heavens open and Jesus Christ come. Everybody. Now, watch this. He's going to describe the son of perdition. By the way, who is the son of perdition? Well, Jesus Christ told you in John 17. It's Judas Iscariot. He said, I've lost none but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. That's why when the Antichrist comes, it says he was and is not and is to come. Okay? That's why he's called a devil. That's why when he died, he went to his own place. Okay? He's a mockery of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is hanging on a tree and dying. Where's Judas? Hanging on a tree dying. He's a mockery. Okay. All right. So the thing is, it's described, it says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So when the Jews build this temple that they're going to build, and I hear a lot of stuff, that there's stuff all together for it and all that, but Jesus Christ will never go into that temple they're building. The Antichrist will. And he's going to go in there. Where did God speak to the Jews from? He spoke to them right from that Ark of the Covenant, off of that mercy seat. So he's going to, as God, go right into that holy spot, the most holy spot, and sit there and say, I'm God. Okay? And he'll deceive many. That's probably where the Jews wake up and realize this guy ain't what he says he is. When he comes, he's going to deceive the world with peace. Okay? And if you think about it, what do all the liberals want? Oh, peace, peace. If you ever live with them, there's no peace. But, you know, there's not peace. We want peace. Take everybody's guns away. Let's just have peace. All right? And, you know, if you want peace, arm everybody. They will get real polite.
Yeah, that's right.
All right? That real nice towards each other. All right? But the point is, peace, peace, where there is no peace. And that's the great deception of the Old Testament. It will be the deception of the tribulation, where the Antichrist comes with peace. And for the first 3.5 years, he rules in peace. But then comes that point where he sits in the temple of God and declares that he's God. That's what wakes the Jews up, okay? And they flee, and now it's war and hell on this earth and such. He's disarmed the nations, deceived them through peace. And so that goes on, but that can't happen yet. Now, verse 5, the Apostle Paul says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Those are things that really they're Old Testament prophecies Jesus Christ talked about. There's nothing new to it, okay? Verse 6, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. What withholds that he can be revealed in his time? What's withholding the Antichrist from being revealed in his time? What's stopping that? Why doesn't the Antichrist just come right now and start? Something's withholding the Antichrist from being revealed in his time. Now watch this. Verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until it be taken out of the way. What's the mystery of godliness? God was manifest in the flesh. So what's the mystery of iniquity? The Antichrist, okay? The devil manifests in the flesh. Now, he already works. Just sit and watch Charismatics, all right? Just sit and watch Fox News or MSNBC, and, you know, there you are. It goes back to that famous thing of Rocky and Bullwinkle, and I've told that 100 times, but, you know, Boris and Natasha made a spray one time that if they sprayed it on, it made you stupid. And they were taking over the United States. They'd spray it on a bank, go, you know, in the vault, you know, and such. And so Rocky and Bullwinkle are the only two that know about it, so they say, we need to go on Congress. And they run, and it shows them a rotunda of Congress, and they're listening, they look at each other. They've already been here. Now, they end up winning because they spray Bullwinkle, but he was already so stupid he was immune. So that's how he ends up winning out of the whole thing. But, hey, these are serious things. Where else could you come get this kind of culture? All right? All right? Now, the point is this. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's out there. There's evil all over the place. Okay? It's already working. You can just see it. Everyone can see the world's falling apart. It's more and more wicked and such. You know, I heard a person say this. He said the only thing wrong with Donald, or the only thing right about Donald Trump is all his policies. Well, that's fascinating to say. The only thing right about him is all his policies. They don't like anything about him, but they love his policies and such. And, you know, I like most of what he does. But isn't it amazing that the savior of conservatism in America is a man that's been divorced 3 times and reality TV stars. And again, I'm for him. I pray for him. But it just shows what our nation has come into, okay? That this is what we have degraded to, that these are the kind of people we're looking to for salvation, okay? The mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's saturated everywhere. But then it says, but now he that now letteth will let. Let what? This goes back to that seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let. What's he letting you do? He's letting everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Who gets to depart from iniquity? Those that name the name of Christ. He's letting them do that. Now, he that now letteth will let. Until when? Till he's taken out of the way. That's sealed. See? The Holy Ghost is taken up. When he's taken out of the way, then it's over. Okay? That's the rapture of the Holy Ghost. He's what's taken. And just like the rapture of the glory of God, the vessel he's in goes. Okay? Just like the ark got taken up to heaven, if he's in your vessel, it goes. Okay? It's the rapture of the Holy Ghost. It's really not the rapture of the church. It's the rapture of the Holy Ghost. There's people not even in local New Testament churches who get raptured, okay? But if the Holy Ghost is in them, they go. Now, verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed. When's he revealed? When he who now letteth will let's take it out of the way. When that seal is taken up, and all those that are sealed with it are taken up with him, then shall that wicked be revealed. It's when the Antichrist, because of national television announcements all over, he's here, okay? Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So we know the Antichrist is going to be destroyed. We know Jesus Christ does it with that sharp two-edged sword that comes out of his mouth. But I'm not going to be around to have to suffer with him because I've been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. When he takes that away, I go. That's it. I go. My ticket is punched. Okay? Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with how much power? All power and signs and lying wonders. Now that's a hard verse to believe. All power? All power? That's what it says. You know what happens? God looks at the devil and says, you have lusted for all the power. I'm going to give you every bit of the power. Go ahead. It's all yours. My people are out of here. Okay? It's all yours. And you know what? He still loses. Why? Because power isn't the key. Holiness is the key. And that's what he doesn't have. That's what the lost person doesn't have is holiness. He cannot be holy. And without holiness shall no man see God. So he comes with all power and all signs and lying wonders. And by the way, it says that spirit already doth work. Okay? How's it work? Listen to all the people talk about having signs and wonders and having powers. And stuff. It's already out there working. Okay? But they're just bush league. They're just, you know, JVs and such. They're, you know, this is the varsity here. All right. Verse 10 again. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now look at verse 11. For this cause, who will do it? God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, if I read the next verse, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So this is that thing I was talking about. What God's looking for is people who want the truth. Okay? Well, all of us would like to know the truth of the pyramids or the truth of this or that. You know, Frank Zappa saying, did a booger bear land out there somewhere in the Andes? You know, and everybody's wondering, you know, where the UFOs come from and all that kind of stuff. But he's talking about the truth. Do you really want to know the truth? Well, the first place is the truth about you, okay? The truth about you, and that's what most people run away from. They don't want the truth about themselves. And God comes to them with the truth about themselves, and it pricks at them, and they hate it. They call it doubts, and they're worried, and they try to put that blue coat back on like that dog and be what they're supposed to be. And God's trying to show, no, the problem is inside of you. You're what the problem is. They don't want the truth about themselves. And God wants to show them the truth because he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So when I come in there, and I get right down to that core of your heart and get down to the very root of where your wickedness is coming from, down in command central to what you really are, that's when I get into that thing, and that's when I place my faith in there, and I place who I am in there, and I seal you with that Holy Ghost, I seal you with that Holy Spirit of promise, and now I'll let you depart from iniquity. But there's some who don't want the truth. They want the truth about all the stuff out there, but the real truth of what's wrong with themselves, they don't want it.
That's right.
Okay? They don't want it. And it says that for that reason, God shall send them a lie. God. Can you imagine if God decided to deceive you? Imagine if God set his heart and said, you're not going to believe. You've had your chance. I'll see to it that you fall for what the Antichrist says. I'll see to it that you do. He said in Ezekiel 14, he told Ezekiel, if the prophet be deceived, I, the Lord, deceive that prophet. We see in the book of 1 Kings there, the very last chapter there, when they bring in Micaiah and they say, hey, Ahab and Jehoshaphat, prophesy for us. Oh, just go, you'll be fine, everything will be okay. And Ahab said, didn't I tell you to tell me nothing but the truth? And he says, you know, I looked up into heaven.
That's right.
And I saw God, and he asked, who will go down and deceive Ahab for me? And the spirit said, I'll be a lying spirit. I'll go down, and I'll be in the mouth of his prophets. God told me, go ahead and go. Okay? The Bible talks about a time where every single person who has heard the truth, or God sends that spirit to him, sends it to him. Want to know something about the tribulation? Won't be any babies in it. Don't take those babies. Such is the kingdom of God, he said. Okay? Suffer the little children to come under me. That's why old Nancy Corbett used to go into the room and check to see if those girls were still there, the children were still there. They're still, if they're below the age of accountability, okay? Not a problem. A little Victor, gone. Okay? It's gone. Okay? Little children, just gone. I don't know how old you were when you became accountable. I kind of have an idea for myself. Kind of an idea what I became accountable for. There's no certain age for that. One of the problems with the world today is children's innocence is taken away far too early.
Yes, sir.
Far earlier than God ever intended that innocence to be gone. It's gone. Okay? And they become accountable for things I would to God they were never accountable for. A But that day comes when that rapture, when that horn toots and that rapture goes, says God will send them strong delusion because they receive not the love of the truth. Okay? You say, well, how does anybody get saved during the tribulation? It talks about all sorts of people getting saved in the book of Revelation. Why? Because they're people who never heard it before. Okay? The people that never heard. That's why it's the most serious single thing that you could ever do to make sure your own salvation. There is nothing more serious that you'd ever do. You know, how many of you get ready to go on vacation if you were worried that maybe you left the stove on, wouldn't stop at the end of the road and go back and check? Okay? How many of you? How many of you were afraid you hadn't locked the gun safe, would go back and see to it that it was locked? Okay? If you were worried that maybe it wasn't done, okay? How many of you? Well, if I was worried that maybe I wasn't saved, you know what I'd do? I'd be checking up.
Yes, sir.
I'd be checking up, and I wouldn't be looking for just little false things somewhere. Most of the people I know who've had to wrestle through this thing made a couple of false professions in their life before God ever settled them down, and they were so thirsty for the truth that no false profession could do it. See, when I get thirsty here, I take this, I drink it. Now, what if I told you, I am so thirsty? It's empty. Well, that quenched it. Was I really thirsty? No. You know, if you're a mother, you learn this thing. You know, kids come in, Mom, I'm thirsty. I want some drink. Here's some water. No. You go back out. Were they thirsty? No, they weren't thirsty. Okay? When they're thirsty, they'll drink water. I mean, when we lived in the Philippines, kids would turn their nose up to anything but Kool-Aid or juice or something. Boy, they'd come in from playing. We'd pump that pump and take that water, just lukewarm, put that dipper in it. Boy, that water was just delicious. Anybody's ever been on a hay wagon, you know what that's like. You get there and, you know, get to the barn or whatever and run that hose and get that water, and it don't matter to you that it's lukewarm and tastes like a rubber hose or something like that. It's the most delicious thing you've ever put in your mouth before, all right? Because you're really thirsty. But the thing is, for a kid that says, I'm thirsty, and oh, no, I'm not going to drink that. It's just water. You know, he's not thirsty. He's not thirsty at all. And for a person who can say, oh, I really thirsted, but how do I know if I get real salvation? Because your thirst will be over.
Yeah.
Okay? You won't thirst anymore. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Okay? Let he that is thirsty take of the water of life. Okay? Jesus Christ said, he that drinketh this water shall thirst no more. If you're still thirsting, you ain't tasted his water. If you're still thirsting, you ain't ever tasted what he gives. Verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through what? Sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. It didn't say from the beginning chose you to salvation, that's it. No, here's how. From the beginning, here's how he chose to save you. Okay? Sanctification of the Spirit. What's sanctification? Putting it aside. You take the Spirit of God and you put it in a special place in your life. You put him in your life, okay? You give him a sanctuary and belief of the truth. No matter where the truth goes, to believe it. You know, they say one of the hardest things for cops sometimes if they get a wrong thing in their head. There was a famous case one time where an old beloved police chief killed his own daughter. And he's even helping with the crime. And every clue is telling the cops, it's your police chief. He's the one that did it. And they're just searching everywhere for the truth, but they can't bring themselves to what the obvious clues are. They can't bring it. It's too uncomfortable and awful a truth. And it wasn't until he almost had to confess before they understood, oh, who killed your daughter? Right? You're the one that did it. And again, why is that? Because people get something in their head, and when something's in their head, it's so hard to get anything else in there once something's in their head. Before you can get a truth in, you have sometimes get a lie out to get a truth in. And people will look at the truth sometimes and look at it like a lie because they have a lie in their head. It's just the nature of people. But Paul says, I thank God because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through what? Sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Okay? That's what you're to have. Verse 14, wherein he called you by our gospel to the attaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Let's go ahead and close with that. And I'll tell you what, let's have our three ladies come up here. Miss Autumn, you tell them what song they're going to sing. All right?
You three ladies come on back.